Oh, there was a bit of blasphemy with on the, as a full stop to your side there, Andy. Nice one.
Oh, I didn't think you'd hear that. I was supposed to just be under my breath.
Yeah, I heard it with my ears. Oh, I've turned them on, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Before I came in.
Yeah.
So nice to see you. Which is Ronnie Uptits.
Hey?
Ronnie Uptits, do you fancy?
That's a new one.
Well, in this warm weather, I should think they are quite sweaty, aren't they?
Well, underneath, yeah.
Here's your choice. Dip the sixpence.
Oh.
Frankie Wholemeal. I thought that was quite...
healthy.
Yeah. Valerie Simpleton. Interested in that? Hey, what about Jason Bourne?
What about him?
I'm saying, what about you today? You can be Jason Bourne. Treadstone. All that stuff. No? Not interested? Firehawk.
Yes.
Firehawk it is then.
Yes, Firehawk, please.
Yep. I should have known, given your comic addiction. So, let's get on with it on this hot London day.
Okay.
Hey, Your tits are probably so hot and sweaty, right? Do you reckon you could fry an egg between them on this hot London day?
Do you want to try?
We'll try afterwards.
All right, in the street.
I'll crack an egg.
I'll lie on my back on the pavement, get them out.
Lob an egg.
Just lob an egg between them and see what happens.
Okay, I've interrupted you. Let's go.
I'm going to do a quick yes or no with you.
All right, fair
enough.
Yes
or no, right? Ready?
Yep.
Glue.
Yes.
Spice, the legal high.
No.
Roids.
Rides. Look, I'll put a bracket round what I'm saying. I'm not allowed to say anything, am I? But I don't know what the fuck rides are.
Steroids.
Ah, sorry, no.
Yeah, one out of three.
Oh, you like all three, do you?
I'm not saying I like all three, I'm saying you got one out of three.
All right, fair enough. I got one out of three. I'm happy with that.
Okay. Premier League starts this weekend.
Does it?
Yep.
Yes, of course it does.
You looking forward to it?
Yeah, very much so. I'm going up to the Borough tomorrow to
right.
watch us play.
Who do you think one of the best teams will be in the Premier League?
I think one of the best teams will definitely be Arsenal. They're always one
right,
of the
okay.
best.
Okay, and who do you think one of the best players is going to be?
I think one of the best players will be Hurry Ramsey.
Up. Ramsey,
yeah.
also of Arsenal. Right, that's the Premier League preview out of the way. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks. Are you got your questions, your general questions for
I've
me?
I've got some questions for you, yeah. I've got three questions
I've got a lot of shit to get out today, Andy.
Have you?
So crack on
right,
with these
Right, let's fly through this then. Yeah, here we go. Three questions from blood relatives of myself. Bob, as a millionaire,
yep.
with your portfolio, your kitchen island and your bouillabaisse, the best steak I ever had
yeah.
was on the North Shales to Zeebrugge ferry.
Right.
As a millionaire, where's the best steak you ever had? Was it A, in an exclusive London restaurant such as the Ivy or the Angus Steakhouse? B, cooked by one of your slaves? Or C, done by your celebrity friend Heston Blumenthal and biked over to your house in a hot box?
Right, well, I'm not a millionaire. I don't know Heston, so I'm not going to call him a friend of mine. If you must know, the best steak I've had was at McCoy's restaurant on the A19 just outside Middlesbrough.
Right.
Okay.
Did you hire out the whole restaurant?
And I don't have any slaves either, I should say that. No, I had a private room, no.
Aye.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Right, second question. Today is World Elephant Day. How many elephants do you own, Bob? And you can round it up or down to the nearest five if you're not sure.
I don't own any elephants.
Sure?
Absolutely certain.
Are you absolutely certain about that?
Absolutely
certain. If someone were to present evidence that was to prove, beyond all doubt, that you own... seven elephants.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that?
Well, I'm not. It doesn't worry me.
Really?
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
What you've got proof? What elephants with personalised Bob Mortimer number plates?
I'm not saying I have got that proof. I'm just saying if someone were to prove.
Well, that's a bit of a non sequitur. And if someone were to.
That's how I work.
All right. Next question.
Question three.
Waste of time, honestly.
Do you regularly get the alderman and the other parish council dignitaries to come round your house so that you can race your elephants round the back of your orchard on that massive patch of land?
I don't have any elephants. The alderman has never visited my house. I always go to him, as it were, up in Stockton-on-Tees.
I'm pretty sure he has been at your house.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he hasn't.
I'm pretty sure he has.
Oh, well, I'm sure he hasn't. And
I'm sure he has.
I think a jury would come down on my side. Have you ever been to my house?
No, but I've seen it on Google Earth.
Whereas I'm in my house every single day, I think the jury's going to believe me when it comes to whether the alderman's visited.
I'm just going to take along a printout from Google Earth and you can see that big patch of land round the back. It seems to be getting transformed into what can only be described as a safari park at the minute. That's the three questions. As ever, I am not satisfied.
Well, talking about the alderman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a good friend of mine and the alderman died at his funeral last week, Kenny Pepper. We've known him for I'm 45, maybe nearly 50 years now. We all worked together at the steelworks in the 70s up right. in Middlesbrough. Kenny was a lathe operator at the foundry, and it was funny. Every day a woman used to come round right with a trolley, 11 or whatever, with tea, coffee and stuff.
What, while you're working your lathe?
Yeah, you're allowed to have a break, you know. And
but did she wear safety equipment?
No, she just had a tabard. You know, like, no, or, and I can't remember, that there was probably some bell rang and said, caution, tea lady.
That sounds better.
Now, we had a very, very long Douglas.
Did he?
He really long Douglas, and it's absolutely true.
Because Kenny Pepper's the kind of name of someone you think has got quite a short one, isn't it?
No, yes, a little stubby thing, but not a really long one. And what he used to do, and he did this every single day, he would lay it, his dongle, in the centre of a hot dog bun on his bench and cover it up with a cloth. And when the TU lady got to him, he'd pull the cloth off and say, what do you think would go best with this? And she would say, fuck off, Kenny, you pervert, or whatever. Yeah. But every single day. That was Kenny, anyway. Anyway, he was killed by ISIS. Not...
No, do you mean ICA?
Really. No, not really. No, he was very upset when his ISA didn't give the return. No, he died.
Oh, is that your joke?
No, not at all. I shouldn't have said he was killed by ISIS. No, he fell off the cliffs at Saltburn. Do you know the cliffs at Saltburn? While eating some chips, his little dog Perry finished up the chips, which is nice, isn't it?
So it's a nice name
he fell
the
and
dog.
The chips fell to the floor, and Perry had the chips, not knowing that down 200, 300 feet below him was his dead owner.
And you know this how?
Eh?
How do you know this?
Well, it's a lot of newspapers.
Oh,
Kenny
true.
Perry. Kenny Pepper dies in cliff. The heart of it's true. So we went up for the funeral, and it turns out that Kenny had left a note to be read at his funeral. So they read it out, thanked us all for coming. And then it said, in the last 10 years, a great sadness had hit him because his good friend Bob, that's me, only seemed to have time for the alderman. And the letter specifically asked if, as a last goodbye, I could give him one final kiss before he were buried, like.
Right.
And well, I glanced up at the alderman, I sat next to him, and his face was red and all puffed out.
God, you'd think he'd be all right with that, wouldn't you?
Well, to give him credit, through like his grit his teeth, he says, do it, Robert, do it.
So Kenny.
I walked to the front, and all the congregation and the vicar with the twitch and the town clerk were all not chanting it, but just sort of like, I don't know what you call it, just rhythmically saying, kiss the corpse, kiss the corpse. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
like, you know, lovely. Respectfully.
Respectfully kiss Kenny's corpse, kiss Kenny's corpse. So just as I leaned over to give Kenny his, like, this final kiss, I hear, no, Robert! Not in the Lord's house, Robert! Robert, please, Robert!
It was his wife.
Everything went silent. Everyone turned and stared at him. I didn't know what to do, so I just give Kenny a tiny little peck on his cheek. When I looked up, the older one was just like running out of the church, but you could hear him sobbing.
Yeah.
It's not nice, is it? So the town clerk and the vicar had great big grins on the face.
I bet they did.
Yeah. I mean,
I've got one over on him.
Well, I half wonder whether the letter was real, whether it was all aimed at getting one over. Anyway, they seemed very pleased with themselves. I went out as quick as I could, and the old man was nowhere to be seen. I've tried contacting him, but he won't pick up his phone.
Right.
To be honest with you, I feel, did you think I was right to kiss Kenny's corpse? Or?
It's the wishes of a dying man, isn't it? Or a dead man. So, yeah.
I mean, it just seems a bit odd.
It's not like you and the alderman are in any kind of, like, relationship. You're not committed to each other, are you?
Well, that's what I...
You know what I mean? It's not cheating or anything.
I've never said either way. He's never asked me, and I've never asked him, but... Anyway, so
there's that open status, isn't there? So you're free to kiss other men, other
corpses,
dignitaries,
or
corpses, whatever. Yeah, he can't complain. He either needs to commit to you properly, or, you know, shut his mouth.
Yeah, well,
shit or get off the pot, as they say.
Yeah, I can't give him that message at the moment because he's, what do they call it, incommunicado?
Yeah.
That's where he is.
He just needs to pull himself together, doesn't he?
I've been looking at the observational comedy rules.
There are rules, are there?
Yeah, and I find them a bit complicated. But I've got a new set I'd like to run past you, Andy.
Go on then, feel free.
Feel free to critique it as well. You can, if you want to this week, you don't have to be an audience. You can be like a judge.
I'll see how it goes. If I feel like I want to be an audience and jump in and participate, I will.
Okay, right. Whenever I feel... Hey, are you like me? Listen, right. Whenever I... oh, jeez. Whenever I fill out an application, in the part that says, if in an emergency, who should we notify, I put doctor. I mean, what's my mother going to do? She's got a brass hand. So that was the first one.
That's good.
So there's a joke in there. Yeah. Have you ever noticed that children can be very unruly? For example, at a party, sports event, or family picnic. You notice that?
Yeah.
Shall I knock that one off?
Yeah, I'd leave that one.
Hey, I saw six men kicking and punching the mother-in-law. My neighbour said, you going to help or what? I said, no, six should be enough. One of them has a brass hand and he's fucking lethal. That's, you like that one,
that's an old Les Dawson joke, that one.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and you've just stuck a brass hand into it.
Yeah, that's what I thought I would do. I'd get some observational comedy jokes, then just lob brass hand.
Proven ones from the past, yeah, from dead one. Comedians.
So, for example, this one. Hey, why is it called Alcoholics Anonymous when the first thing you do is stand up and say, my name is Robert and I have a brass hand? Hey?
Yeah, you've done that again. You've took the joke and you've put a brass hand
on
there.
Put a brass hand on the end, yeah.
No real reason.
So, hey, if you think nobody cares if you're alive, try missing a couple of payments on your brass hand, are you?
That's good.
Yeah,
it's a good joke. That's good, because that resonates.
So that's me set.
Yeah. You're not planning to do Edinburgh, are you, this year?
Nah.
Right, just as well, I reckon.
I'm bigger than Edinburgh with stuff like that, man.
You think?
Yeah,
I think it needs a bit of work, to be honest.
Oh, okay, well, it'll get a bit of work.
Well, do you want to hear mine, and then you can maybe see how it's done properly.
Okay, let's see. Have it. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Dawson with his peculiar brand of observation humour.
Right. Hey, right. Listen. Have you been watching the Olympics? Have you seen it? Did you see the marathon? How come they don't call it the Snickers? Hey? Sponsorship?
It's no.
Hey, listen. Do you remember the proper Batman? You know, the proper one from the 1960s, when he used to be in a good mood. Not like the new one, where he's always got a cub on about summit.
Yeah, that's good. I've noticed that. I like that one, yeah.
Hey, listen. Listen to this. What's the deal with Shetland ponies? What's that all about? They're just like proper horses, but you can fit them in the back of a transit van. What would you want to put a horse in a van for? Whose fucking idea was that?
It's all right. I think you should have gone smaller than a transit.
Like a hatchback?
Yeah, a little hatchback. Maybe an Octavia estate.
Like a panel van, something like that.
Yeah, but anyway, it's all right.
Oh, okay. I can always change it. No one's going to hear it.
Is that it?
That's all I've got, yeah.
Well, that's the observation comedy.
Okay.
Out the way. You mentioned the Olympics there. I was watching the diving. You know, Tom Daley and what have you. And I was just thinking to myself, because on the one Todd Daley was doing, there was a couple of them, Ukrainians. They like ran right at the full length of board, then did their dive.
Right.
And it made me think to myself, there isn't one in diving where they just run and see who can dive the furthest.
Yeah.
Which seems to me like the most obvious.
So take the principle of the long jump and apply it to the diving board. I'd watch that. I've got no interest whatsoever in the diving.
Yeah.
Or any of the aquatic sports. I think they're ridiculous. As is the horse dancing. Has the horse dancing been on
it? I saw a posh bloke with a top hat on. I presume that's what he was doing.
Not interested in any of that. But that thing you've just said, I'd watch that.
Yeah, because it takes out the subjective, you know, all the voting and all that. It's just who can dive the
statistics.
Furthest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or who dare jump from the high? I don't know. It's just something a bit more. Anyway, but I've quite enjoyed the Olympics. I keep my eye on them. Always upsets me that there's no darts and no is it rodeo? Rodeo?
Rodeo.
Yeah, would you like to see
the fucking Brongo?
No, rodeo, proper rodeo. You know, wait, stay on horse as long as you can. And also the darts, I think that...
The darts has got to be, and you can have pistol shooting and archery, so why not darts?
Exactly. It's just eye to object coordination or whatever you call it, isn't it? And so that's my Olympic bugbears.
Is that your Olympic roundup?
That's my Olympic bugbears.
Have you got things you'd like to praise about the Olympics now? As a contrast,
I think that the woman who represents the British Broadcasting Corporation. What's she called? Jenny Han? No, what's the woman called? Claire Balding.
Claire Balding.
I think she's very good.
Right.
Very professional. Have Andy?
That's not all bad news for the Olympics, then.
No, I've enjoyed that aspect of it. Yeah. Have you ever done anything classy in your life? You know, really classy, like a watercolour of a trout stream, or bought some personalised stationery. You know, something really classy.
I got some of that perfume water for my iron once.
Oh, that's classy.
Yeah.
Or is it? Is that classy, isn't it?
It was nice. It was like potpourri.
Wow.
Smell.
Classy, Andy.
And I've got one of those things, speaking of fragrances, I've got one of those air freshener things that just squirts out a jet every 10 minutes.
Some chemicals.
Yeah, spread some chemicals into the air every 10 minutes.
And they just...
Keeps us all sedate.
Rest on your carpet.
Into the fungalow.
Yeah, fungalow. Yeah, do you do upstairs and downstairs with it?
No comment.
No comment, he says. No. Hey, this week, I'll tell you what caught my eye.
What's that then?
The bramble overhanging on the pavement. No, I'll tell you what caught my eye was... did you see that story about the dark-haired lass from ABBA?
No.
No, does everyone know? Did you not see it? Absolutely straight up.
No.
She...
Annie Fried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She, and it's absolutely... I don't want to get it wrong, because it's like, she is part of the Nazi breeding programme.
Is she?
No, I promise you, and she's like a figurehead for the... Is it not in Norway? But isn't that... I don't know why it's extra. Of course, it had to happen. So she's the result of a liaison from a German soldier.
Yeah.
And the mum was just a... I think Norwegian civilian.
Yeah. She's a good-looking woman.
I just found that extraordinary. To read that headline. You know, but there you go. It just, as I said, that's something that caught my eye. And it was a follow-up to my previous item. What was it about the Olympics I did? Back...
The long jump off the diving board?
No, but I summed it up with a word, like...
A bugbear.
That I have done the Olympic bugbears, what's caught my eye.
Are we trying to introduce new topics into the thing?
Well, it's
here?
About time we did, isn't it?
I was in Gateshead last night.
Really?
And I went to see the Labour leadership debate.
Okay.
Owen Smith versus Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah.
Very interesting. About 11 or 12,000 people there, I reckon. So I reckon Labour's probably nailed on to...
Turnout. Where was it? In the town hall or something?
Yeah, just in the town hall, yeah. But there was loads of... They opened the doors at the back, so...
Yeah.
Like, singing. So anyway...
Are the sliding doors, Andy, or great big old oak door?
Big old oak doors.
Okay, right.
Yeah, we're sliding doors in Gateshead. Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I got there early, got down the front, and Corbyn comes on, right, does his 20 minutes at the start, all about stuff that he hates, that he thinks should go in the sea.
Yeah.
Good opener, good icebreaker, does a couple of songs, you know, then there's an interval. So I nip out for a fag while the interval's on, because I've started smoking again. Go around the back for a quiet fag, because everywhere I go these days, it's all, oh, look at him, there he is. Fellow with a fat voice off the podcast.
Look at him
smoking. So I'm having a tab, minding my own business. Corbyn comes out the back door.
Right.
With his pipe.
Oh, he has a pipe,
he has a pipe. Kendall Shag, I think he was smoking.
One of them. Nice aroma, was it?
So yeah, it was actually. Yeah, he stands next to us, lights up the pipe. And he just looks across and he went, seen you.
Really?
I says, all right. He says, seen you in there. Seen you in there.
Yeah.
Fancy yourself a bit, don't you?
Ooh.
I mean, I do.
Yeah,
so I said, like, well, yeah, a bit, yeah. He says, lifts his nose up a bit, you know, getting a bit cocky. He says, what's the most number of times you've ever driven round a roundabout?
That's what he challenged you with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I says, well, what sort of, like, mini roundabout? Motorway junction?
Good question.
You know, how many exits?
Yeah, good question.
He says, 4 exits. Not a mini, but not a full-sized town roundabout.
I instinctively know what you mean, yeah.
So, I mean, I think the most I've done is probably three times around one of them. So, I says, 3. He says, how many times do you reckon I've gone round? I mean, he's quite a cocksure fella, isn't he?
Well, because he's brought it up, I'd be tempted to have said 6 or 7.
How many do you think? I said 9.
Right.
He says, 9. 9?
Yeah.
Prick.
God, you're prick.
He says, treble it, 27. 27 times around the roundabout. He says, yeah. He says, once you get past the first 4 or 5, if you're fast enough, other motorists can't get on, they start to notice. He says, and they stop and they watch. They don't want to get on. They just want to watch you going round and round. And he says, and the pedestrians there watch as well. It's a fucking amazing rush, he says.
Whoa.
And I'm like, wow, yeah, exactly. He says, you get locked into it. He says, it's almost sexual.
So that's his passion, is
that
it?
That's what he's into. It's fucking weird, isn't it? I don't know if he was telling the truth, but it sounded convincing.
Yeah.
And then there's like a bit of an awkward silence after that, obviously, because I didn't know what to say after that.
Yeah.
He says, anyway, I'm going back in. He says, if you can guess what I've got in my pocket, you can have it. So I says, a tenner.
Yeah. I says, it's tobacco pouch.
I thought it's either going to be a pool ball or a tenner.
Right.
And it was a tenner.
Was it?
So he give us it?
He give you it?
Yeah.
So there's the two sides of Corbyn, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, the like robotic, fixed,
monotonous.
Yeah.
Dreary.
Well, that might be a bit.
Granddad figure, but then the when passion. He's off the leash, 27 times around a roundabout.
Yeah. The passion in his pocket, a tenner.
Yeah. I was going to say 20, but I thought he's a man of the people.
Yeah.
He's going to have denominations of a tenner, isn't he?
So, did you like him, if you've met him? I mean, do you like him, or?
I like him more now.
Yeah. Now
and I want more.
Yeah.
I want more of that. So, wherever he's on next week doing another debate, I'm going to go along.
You can nip round the back for a fag.
Hopefully, yeah.
So, wife's got some questions,
Andy. Oh, that's nice.
What's that, mate? What's nice?
That your wife's got some questions.
All right.
Did you think I'd just seen something out the window or something?
When you're up the Asda... Yeah. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Mrs. Mortimer.
Hi. When you're up the Asda, do you have a specific aisle route that you stick to at quite a slow, deliberate pace?
No, I dash around random angles.
According to what you need to buy.
According to what I need.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't plan it ahead.
Okay. When was the last time you purchased unprocessed food? Do you remember that? At all?
Unprocessed food. Would that fresh fruit and vegetables count as unprocessed?
Count, yeah.
Oh, well, that'd be March.
March? What, did you buy a fucking coconut?
Grapes in March.
And a last question, funnily enough, is one I've already asked you, which was, in summer, is it possible in full sun to fry an egg between your hot bits? So we've already got an answer,
we'll answer that
we're going to find out.
We'll find out for next week, yeah.
So I've got a terribly sad story to tell, Andy, about Steve McLaren.
Oh, jeez.
And I want to do it at the end because I don't know whether I'm going to get through it. So,
can I do your memory man credentials at this point?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, let's test your memory man credentials because we haven't done that for a couple of weeks. Here we go.
Okay.
Bob, do you remember the name of the actor who played...
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on, hold your horses.
What?
I hold myself out as the memory man who knows every statistic about football from 1876 to the present day. Is this a football
question? No, we haven't done football for a few weeks. It's open season now. What, are you shying away from the challenge then?
No, I'll give it a go, but I haven't held myself out to know anything about...
You're in show business, you know, you should know about actors and stuff.
Oh, I'll give it a go.
All right, here we are. Bought yourself a bit of time there, didn't you? You've got yourself thinking, oh, it's an actor question.
Yeah.
I'll think about actors. Here we go. Do you remember the name of the actor who played the role of Kitchen Dennis in Series 2, Episode 3 of Minder? It's the original Minder with Dennis Waterman as the sidekick and not the shitty remake.
80s.
With the other fella or Shane Ritchie.
We're talking 80s, yeah?
80s, yeah. Series 2 will have been about 1980, 81 probably.
Just remind me of the character's name.
Kitchen Dennis.
Okay, I'm on it.
Suck on the crack pipe there while you think about that.
Yes, I do. Yes.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
Incredible stuff.
Yeah.
I thought I had you there. I had you, but no.
You thought you did. I could see the look on your face.
You were already celebrating
whilst I was having a draw on my pipe, weren't you?
I was, but no, never mind. Hey, did you know Atletico Mints is the UK's top gas-powered podcast now?
It isn't. Is it gas-powered?
It is, yep.
And can you back that up, that fact up?
It's just something some fella told me earlier on.
What, had he read the gas meter or something?
I don't know. He just said to tell you.
Oh, well, what's his name? Thanks for telling us.
Kitchen Dennis.
Kitchen, oh, is it Kitchen Dennis, was it? So, I've got a new kitchen appliance I just wanted to give a shout out to.
Okay.
If anyone's interested, because I've enjoyed it. You've made a big cake, yeah?
Yeah.
Chocolate cake, sponge cake, whatever. Yep. And you've got to cut it across horizontally, probably to half it to put your cream in the middle or whatever, you put jam or whatever.
Yep.
Or to slice off the top so that you've got a nice flat top.
Yeah.
But always a bit of a problem getting a straight line.
It's not easy, is it?
Not easy. Well, the wife bought this thing that's like, it goes over the cake. It's circular and it goes over the cake, yep. Right? And every 2 millimetres, it's got a slot, yeah, that goes all the way across the circle. So you insert, you insert your knife in the chosen slot.
Oh, right, cut, for the height that you want to
and
have.
And cut right across.
Hey, that's brilliant.
The cake. It's, I've seen it work once to perfection, and I can't see any reason why it's ever going to fail. So
you wonder why they didn't go on Dragon's Den with that.
Yeah, it's
or
called
maybe
a,
they will in the
it's
future.
Called the Chamfer Allen.
Chamfer Allen.
Yeah,
it's a weird name.
But I keep it. You know, like let's face it, Annie, I'm a bit pissed off because you've got the world's best kitchen appliance with your air fryer.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's my motivation, but I want to try and top you, and I can't at the moment.
Well,
but
you're already miles behind because next week I'm going to be on Channel 5.
Doing what?
I'm going to be on Channel 5's 50 Greatest Eye Level Grills.
Are you?
That's going to be on next Wednesday night.
They've asked you to go on,
after Big Brother's bit on the side.
Oh, so
I'm one of them talking heads on it.
Yeah.
So I'll sit there and give an opinion about a hot point, or maybe it's a Creeder,
yeah,
or a British Gas one.
Well, the Parkinson Cowan's the best, the double-handed one.
They haven't got me to ask to talk about that, so they might have someone a bit more famous on.
So what have they got footage of
might
people?
Might have Robert Webb on. Maybe he's talking about
Robert Webb would be good on the eye levels. Yeah, are they going to have like footage of it?
There'll be footage of old adverts. So you've got that nostalgia kick.
Lovely. Yeah.
And then me talking about what it used to be like. I mean, I might do it in the, you know, the observational comedy voice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that now because I don't want to waste it on this free podcast. I'd rather keep it for Channel 5 where I'm getting a reasonable fee.
You wouldn't give me one little bit of reminiscence about the eye level grill in your observer voice, but not try and be funny. Just for example, a simple sentence like, the white enamel Parkinson Cowan 2000 was a beautiful grill.
No, I'm not going to do
that. You're not going to do that. Well,
sorry.
Thank you. That's a bit of dead air there, and then,
well,
isn't it?
Well, you shouldn't have gone with the question, should you? You should have known I would say no.
I went fishing this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who was that with then?
I went with Paul Whitehouse.
Oh, aye.
You know,
yeah,
suits you, sir.
Well,
and all
I don't
that.
Know Paul Whitehouse because I'm not a millionaire celebrity, but.
So we stood on the bank there.
Yeah.
Paul saying, suits you, sir.
Is that why this week's podcast, a couple of days later, is it?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Me shouting, you wouldn't let it lie.
Yeah.
Right.
At the fish.
No, just at each other.
Right.
And then they'd laugh and then do another one.
Yeah.
I can't think of.
And then you realise you'd forgotten your fishing gear, so it was just two men standing on the side of the riverbank.
Two very.
Shouting out the catchphrases at each other.
Two very old men as well, I tell you. Is it time for me? It's devastating what's happened to Steve.
I don't think anybody can wait any longer. I think you need to give us it.
Okay. Well, it's with a heavy heart that I tell you what's happened this week. Somebody on Twitter, and I think it's Nick Motown this week, by the way, just tweeted saying, could you, Frazzles, but the size of Rivitas.
Blimey.
Something that, and I've got to applaud him on that. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Isn't that something?
How many could you have in one sitting, though?
Well, you'd have, that's a year.
Four?
And you wouldn't need to butter them. Would you butter them?
I'd butter everything,
you'd
mate. I'd
butter them,
yeah.
Wouldn't you? Well, like a Watsits.
Everything goes down easy with a bit of butter on it.
Yes, true. It's a lubricant. It's a Watsit the size of a baguette.
Are we going to butter me tits up before we fry the eggs on them? Can we? Please.
Yeah, no worries. Do you want proper butter or like the spreadable?
I don't want any of that low fat shit.
All right. Steve.
With tits.
Steve, difficult week for him, right?
Oh.
So for about a year now, he's had a problem with his shoulder, right? Maybe a torn tendon, something like that. And it's made it very difficult for him to carry Casper on his neck like he likes to. But he still does, but he's felt the pain. So he went to the doctor. Doctors take your top off, and there's like this sort of acne, poxy sort of rash on the back of his shoulder. and the doctor examines it, then starts poking at it with his teaspoon, and then he, like, what he does, he just, like, prizes the whole lot off, and it is just like a plate of snake sick, an accumulation that's crisped, like, gone crispy on his skin.
And he just thought it was skin.
Yeah, he just thought he got, you know, so the doctor says, well, I mean, both of them laughed. So it's bloody Casper, isn't it? Dribbling out of him when he's on your neck. So, well, that's good. But the problem is, Steve, that's obviously not the cause of your problem. It's probably something internal, as I say, like a tendon or whatever. So Steve, just as he's getting his blood pressure done and that, starts explaining that, you know, he's out of a job at the moment. Casper's really not very well. And that the fat lass is getting really nasty because he's around the house so much and that. She says to the doctor she's even threatened to make him choose between her and the snake because, you know, of all the spew that it's lobbing into her stuff, her haversacks, her DMs, her fleeces and her leggings and that, all getting spew stains on them. You know, Steve spent nearly £1,000 on a pair of, like, purple sort of satin Jimmy tube shoes to try and keep her off his back.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting that. And he didn't tell the doctor that.
But she wears DMs, though. Why would she want to wear DMs?
She wears DMs most of the night when she's down the social club and that. Yeah. But if there's a wedding, something like that.
Put Jimmy Chupes on.
Yeah, put them on. She can't walk in them, Andy, really, to be honest with you.
She keep a pair of flats in her bag for the end of the night.
Doctor realises he's depressed. That's the problem. As much as anything. So he gives him some happy pills. Mustn't take him on an empty stomach, take him a glass of milk, whatever. Lobs two down.
Yeah.
And he's happy as Larry. He's at home singing his song, Convoy. I got a brand new convoy. All that. Watching the cartoons, yeah. He even puts his... because he hadn't done it for ages. He even went in the garage, started up his clown car, you know, just to keep it ticking over.
Yeah.
Anyway... The only thing that's still making him feel a bit sad is Casper, who seems really down in the dumps. Steve, even about 2 days before this, Steve actually even caught Casper eating, like sort of chewing at one of his own tods.
That's not good.
It's awful, isn't it? So Steve, what he does, daft Steve really, crushes one of his happy pills up and puts it inside a mouse for Casper.
Yeah.
You know, see if it cheer Casper.
Stands to reason. It makes sense.
I think it's fair enough.
You know, if it's made Steve feel better, then, you know, why wouldn't it work with Casper?
So it kicks in pretty quick, and Casper starts dancing on the kitchen floor, you know, like spiralling and zigzagging across the black and white tiles. You know,
oh, that's good.
You're bouncing off the kitchen units, like in the S shape. And
yeah.
Sad. Unfortunately for Casper, the fat lass is trying to cook a big pot of beans at the same time, and Casper bangs right into her legs, yeah? She turns around, and, like, she's looking down, she can see him darting about on the checked tiles, yeah?
Yeah.
His flash of colour and the black and white and black and white. She starts feeling a bit nauseous and realises she's gonna go into a fit, you know, because of all the strobing with Casper bouncing around.
But kitchen strobing's the worst.
Yeah,
isn't it?
So she can't look away, and she's heading for a fit. So bless her, she boots Casper full force, hard as she can, and like, he goes straight up in the air. He ricochets off the kitchen island, yeah, smashes into the Venetian blind on the window. Then he just drops down like a sack of tod onto the surface. He's just lifeless.
Fucking hell.
Casper, I love you. We were touched tight every night. Casper, I miss you. You were there when I bought the waffle maker. Oh, Casper, there is a piece of sick that you left behind on the kitchen blind. And every time I see it, a tear falls on the kitchen floor where you danced like a troubadour. Casper, I'll remember you for the good times, not just the spew. Casper, we'll meet again and we'll be touched tight in the afterlife. Casper, I loved you.
This has been Athletical Mince. Hopefully we'll be back again next week. Thanks for listening.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.